Blog Talk Radio.
The Roman Show returns back to the airwaves. It's June 5th. Lyle Beerbohm, Brett Klavik, Luis Palomino, Scott Holtzman, Eric Reynolds, and UFC fighter Fabricio Werdum, who fights this Saturday, all will be on the show tonight. Make sure you tweet with us at The Roman Show. That's at The Roman Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now, Mikey Ruckus, rain down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beast, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it, cause we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we drop shots as you lick at your chops. Go straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah,
tired of the lock and tired of the knot. We got the industry crossover, like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami, yes, to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we throwing a curve. With a red carpet, news break, shocking the world. Come on, ride, coming on The Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com. And notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to countermove.com. That's countermove.com with a K.
You're listening to The Roman Show, the hottest radio sports program on the net. Call in live at 714-868-0222 or tweet us live at RomanDH. It's The Roman Show.
Mikey Ruckus, the world leader in customized walkout music and theme music for MMA fighters and companies worldwide. For more information, visit soundclick.com/Mikey Ruckus.
The lights are out, you're being called to war. Your destiny is waiting right outside your door. I'ma take you to a place you've never been before. As you're rushing into battle, I will run on the floor. See your opponent got a suit, if you travel and breathe. Hit the thousands of the raiders, make them rise on the feet. I'ma bring the intensity as you walk the cage. Set up bombs inside of you, you will blow with rage. Boom! Face the room. Now there's nothing you can't achieve but push through. Now there's a fire that's burning inside of you. Now there's a tangible victory will ring true. This is my call, rise your ball. Give me the gladiator's interest in front of them all. Create a moment where time stops. The world of shocks, you rock, your bone. You turn to gold, now you're risen to the top.
Never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket.
Never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket.
Never leave your hide behind.
Rocky Rocket.
Catch you. We took a little break, but we're back with a phenomenal lineup. As I had mentioned earlier today, Lyle Beerbum, Brett Lavasic, Reese Palomino, Scott Holtzman, Eric Reynolds, Fabrizio Verdun, all tonight on the show. Joining me on the other side, the MMA Encyclopedia, Guillermo Garcia. By the way, Guillermo, did you know I was listening to another show and there is such a person also with your nickname?
Really?
Yes, there is another person out there. I don't know his name. I don't even remember the show's name or whatever. But you're being tested. I think we should call out that other MMA encyclopedia and the program. I don't remember the program's name, honestly. I'll look it up. But the guy who calls himself, self-proclaims himself to be MMA encyclopedia, I want you to go one-on-one with our MMA encyclopedia, Guillermo Garcia, and I think you'll give that guy a run for his money.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even come up with that name for myself. Like, that was just given to me by people, you know? So,
right.
So I don't know. We'll see.
I would love to see a battle between you and this guy going at it one-on-one to see who really truly is the MMA encyclopedia. I'd love to see that. I'll be the official.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Like, based purely, like, on UFC or Pride or, you know, Bellator knowledge, I think I'd beat him. Like, as far as, like, the regional stuff, like, he may have a slight chance there. But, I mean, like, like, as far as, like, the big promotions go, I don't know too many people that can beat me there.
I want to see it. I'm calling you out on behalf of Guillermo here, our MMA encyclopedia. Call into the show. Let's do a Google Hangout. Let's come up with some really, really hard, difficult MMA questions. And whoever can answer it, you know, after perhaps a couple of rounds of answering questions, then we can really truly determine who is the MMA encyclopedia. I want to see that. You wouldn't go for a one-on-one actual physical contact now, would you?
We're not going to see these people in person. We're not going to see these people in person.
We could set things up here. Come on.
Yeah, we've right. What about they live like in Maine?
It's all right. Maybe they could come down here. We can go up there. We can figure something out one-on-one. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, it's like about being excited. Knowledgeable. It's not about knowing. I mean, like, I know a little jujitsu, but what about this guy's a black belt? I'm not going to have a chance.
you're gonna have to learn some jujitsu and like,
well, I know enough to beat you up, man.
No. Don't make me pull out the video. Don't make me pull out the video. Because I defeated you twice in a row. And guys, him and I, we had a one-on-one grappling match. And I myself having the background of wrestling, I obviously had the advantage. And jiu-jitsu Guillermo claims to be a jiu-jitsu knowledgeable person. Not physically, because he doesn't practice it, but he knows it mentally. And I must admit, for not having practices as far as jiu-jitsu, not training, you came up with some moves, and I got to admit, you know, you tried your best, but you just couldn't handle it, man. Your excuse was that I had no shirt on.
You were lathered in Vaseline, bro. You were lathered in Vaseline.
That is a lie. I was. Now here's the thing, guys. He claims that because I was warming up and I had no shirt and I was sweating, that is the reason why I won. That is completely horse crap. I fair and square defeated you. You know that. I choked you out twice.
If we were wearing gis, you would have lost.
No, don't give me this gi baloney. Come on. You know that I defeated you fair and square, one-on-one. We weren't at it. Only because I decided to warm up, just like any other fighter out there or any person that competes. And I was sweating a little bit. So what? It's hot outside. You know, we're in South Florida where the temperature is 90 degrees, 95 degrees. So you have to sweat. So come on. You know I defeated fair and square. But let's get back to the topic. And that other MMA encyclopedia, I want you to challenge our MMA encyclopedia to see how really good you are. And we'll put both these guys to the test. Hey, guys, follow us on Twitter, at The Roman Show. That's on Twitter, at The Roman Show. Special shout-out also to Vita Coco. Instead of drinking your typical water without any flavor or nutrients, get yourself some Vita Coco at your nearest grocery store. It's enriched with vitamins, nutrients, and it has a great taste flavor, I must admit. Also, if you want some video for your company or your business, it's proven that if you have video content about your business, it increases the traffic when it comes to customers. So you need to reach out to Simply J. That's simplyj.com. And they got some great rates. Tell them The Roman Show sent you, and they'll give you a great discount. SimplyJ.com is an Ask Pro company. All right, guys, so we have a lot of stuff here to talk about. We are awaiting the phone call on Lara Bierbaum, which unfortunately he has not reached out to us yet. He is scheduled to fight at the World Series of Fighting against Jacob Volkman, and that show will take place June 14th on NBC Sports. Now, Guillermo, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the World Series of Fighting card, but it's a nice one there, man, and it's free on TV, and it's something to watch as far as MMA, and that's next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward, like I said, to this next event, you know, especially with John Fitch fighting on it. It was one of my favorite fighters. And, you know, it's interesting to see how long they'll be able to stay afloat. I mean, will they be going like one of these companies that goes out after a year? Or will they be like Bellator was able to stick around and, like, find a place? So I'm looking forward to see what happens here. But it just seems like they're just signing a lot of ex-UFC guys, you know, and I wonder if fans will look at it as like a minor league sort of place, like a place for has-beens. And hopefully that's not the case because a lot of these guys are still very talented.
Well, that John Fitch and Berkman fight looks like a nice one there. And I know you're a big fan of John Fitch.
Berkman was very successful in the UFC. Like at the beginning, he started off like 4-5-1 in the UFC, but unfortunately lost like 3 in a row and got booted out. But I think he's still capable of fighting in the UFC. I think he could still win. You know, he could still be like a decent guy in the UFC. I'm not going to say he's going to go for a title or anything. But I think he can win as many as he loses for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice one there. We also saw Andrei Arlovski was there. We have a couple of names. Calvacante, who's well-known overseas, a great fighter. He also has a run in the World Series of Fighting. We have had here Ray Seffel, the president. And he actually says he's scheduled soon to be inside the cage to compete. We're still waiting at that. But the company has something cool in there, and they're on NBC. You know, they're on NBC Sports. And this time around, it's going to be, like I said, June 14th. It's going to be on a Friday. This Friday coming, not a week from this Friday, the 14th. And now how great is that? You got the World Series of Fighting on Friday, and then you got the UFC on Saturday. So back-to-back events.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a big weekend for MMA. you know, and for a lot of people around the country, and they may even have regional shows in their area on that same weekend as well. So it's just fully loaded. And, you know, it's nice to have the UFC this weekend coming up and also have one the following week because the summer is going to have a lot of fights, especially once the Fox Sports, you know, one shows begin like every couple of weeks. There's going to be so much action.
How great is that fight card looking? We just got word, obviously, this week that Chael Sonnen will be fighting Shogun Rua. Shogun Rua was scheduled to fight in one of the forthcoming pay-per-views, but that's not going to happen, as he was expected to fight Nogueira at UFC 161. But it was too little, too soon. And Sonnen now is going to fight Rua at the first Fox Sports 1 show, which is great. And that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, that fight's kind of interesting because, you know, Shogun's wrestling has never been that great. So he's the type of guy that Chael might be able to take down and hold down for a while. And, you know, that fight should be about five rounds, I believe, since it's the main event. So it'll be interesting to see how Chael does. Although lately, any time he's been taking a hit, he's been curling up. So I'm wondering what kind of Shogun we're going to see because Shogun tends to get tired very easily. Rarely does he ever show any good conditioning. So if the fight goes late, I like Chael's chances. But if there's any chance for Rua, it would be for him to finish the fight within three rounds.
Also on that card, you got Brown and Alistair Overeem. But I want to go back to Sonnen. Again, we were waiting on a phone call from Lyle Beerbohm. I don't expect he's going to call now since it is 8:46 already. But we are expecting also Brett Lavasek, who fights for Glory. We're in contact with him, so he should be on the show shortly. Chael Sonnen, and the reason I want to talk about Sonnen is because Mike Tyson was on the UFC tonight. He spoke with Ariel Helwani, and he says that Sonnen is a better trash talker than Muhammad Ali, hands down. And I got to tell you, Ali was awesome at trash talking. You know, who doesn't remember, you know, swing like a butterfly. What is it? Dance like a butterfly. Fly like a butterfly. Sing like a bee.
Float like a butterfly.
Sing like a bee. Right. Who doesn't remember that? It's just catchy slogans that Muhammad Ali came up with. In fact, I saw a book once that credits Muhammad Ali as one of the first rappers. Can you believe that? But nonetheless, Chael Sonnen is considered by, according to Mike Tyson, as a better trash talker than Muhammad Ali. You think that's right?
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, Chael's like just very creative, and it's just nonstop all the time, whether he's got a fight or not. You know, most of Ali's stuff just came like in the weeks leading up to one of his fights, but Chael just does it all the time, like to anybody, even guys he's not even fighting, guys that are not even in his division. So, I mean, yeah, he's absolutely the best ever.
You know, I heard an interview of him and former WWE champion and now Hall of Famer Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold interviewed Chael Sonnen. And Chael Sonnen gave credit to Stone Cold for his promos. And Stone Cold actually gave praise to Sonnen, saying, "I got to give it to you. You do a really good job. Now, do you write these things or do you just come up with it?" And he said that most of the time he just does come up with it.
I don't know, man. Some of that stuff you just have to come up with in advance. There'll be no way to be that creative on the spot. I mean, if he is, man, like, he's great if he's coming up with that stuff on the spot.
Well, that's what Chael Sonnen said. He said that most of the thing, it's on the fly. He doesn't write or anything like that. It's just on the fly. Think about it. And he credits Stone Cold for some of his promo work. Of course, he doesn't call it promo because that's a wrestling term, but his speeches. He does credit Stone Cold Steve Austin for that. He did give him credit. Now, speaking of wrestling, we just found out yesterday Quentin Rampage Jackson is now headed to Bellator, and in that contract, not only does it give him a right to fight inside the Bellator cage, but he can also, or he will also, compete inside the wrestling ring in TNA. The same goes for King Mo, who also did the same thing. Now, I got to tell you, Rampage and King Mo one-on-one in TNA in wrestling, I think it'll be pretty exciting. I just hope that Rampage, I think, is a way better person on the microphone than King Mo. So that by hands down, that will take it. But do you think, Guillermo, by having these guys bringing in to a contract as Bellator, allowing them to wrestle, in a way takes away from their MMA career? Because we saw it with King Mo. He was dedicating some time practicing TNA, and he didn't do too well in the tournament after they hyped him up.
No, I think it does. I mean, MMA is one of those sports that if you don't commit yourself fully, you're not going to be successful. Now, of course, the level of competition in Bellator is not quite the level of competition as the UFC. So, you know, Rampage and King Mo might be able to get by for a little while, but eventually, when you get to those tournament finals and semifinals, it gets a lot more difficult, even with that extra talent that you were born with. So, yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's good for their MMA careers. In the case of King Mo, it's a shame because, like, he could have had a very, very good MMA career. As far as Rampage, it doesn't matter so much. This is really the end of his career. He's done everything already. He's won all the titles. He's done all that. So at this point, for him, it's not as important because it's not like he's really losing much. It's not like he was going to win any more titles or anything. So for him, I guess it doesn't matter too much. But for King Mo, it's a real shame because he was just in the beginning of his MMA career, and he hasn't, other than winning Strikeforce, title, like, he could have done much more had he dedicated himself.
Yeah. So, if you could either do one or the other, I say, and by you going into wrestling and MMA, unless you want to take, if you want to take MMA seriously, you can't do one or the other. It's just very difficult. Very difficult. It takes a lot of time. And for those folks who don't know about practicing or training for professional wrestling, it's a whole different animal. It's a whole different animal. Completely different. There's a psychological situation to it. You really have to have your mind focused, and sometimes it could throw you off guard. So here you are competing for an MMA fight, and then you have a match. It's just overboard. Number one, your body is not always going to be prepared for it. It's such a quick turnaround, and then mentally that throws you off guard because you're too focused on the whole wrestling thing. So it's either one or the other. But for Rampage's sake, like you said, Guillermo, the guy is a name. He is known. He was in Hollywood, for example, for God's sake. I think it'll be good for him. He might, fight maybe once a year, twice a year. And the rest of the time, he could be out there on TNA just talking baloney on the microphone. And I think it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be good for, TNA and for Bellator's ratings, but as far as for their careers, I don't see how it could be good at all, But it makes me wonder why Josh Barnett didn't take the chance. But I can see from Josh Barnett's point of view, kind of like what King Mo ignored, Josh Barnett knew he's still capable of being successful in MMA and still possibly winning a UFC title. So I guess he wanted to find out for himself if he could actually do it. So he decided to fight for the UFC. But I can see Josh Barnett, after like his UFC days are over, like still going maybe to a Bellator and then to a TNA or something like that. But I think he's still got some time left in his career where he could be successful, so he decided not to do that now.
Yeah, and Josh Barnett is an incredible wrestler. Mind you that Barnett is not an American-style pro wrestler. He's more of a Japanese-style wrestling, which is completely different. And that type of style is not really much seen in the States since they base it more on the entertainment portion. But I saw a great matchup between Barnett, and I can't remember the guy's name, but it was so quick, it was so fast. And you would be surprised how good Barnett is. Really surprised. And great stuff out of Barnett as a professional wrestler. All right, Guillermo, let's go to a quick break. We'll be right back with more here on The Roman Show. Again, tweet with us at The Roman Show. And also make sure you like our fan page at Roman Show Media. That's at Roman Show Media. We'll be right back after this small, short commercial break.
Hey, what's up? This is Brett Grimm Rogers listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks, girl.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's O.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, on The Roman Show. Brett Lack, I'm hoping pronouncing his last name, and I'm sure he corrects me when I'm on the line. And also, Lyle is on the line. We're going to bring in Brett since we had him scheduled at 8:55, so Lyle, just bear with me here. Lyle Bierman, who fights for the World Series of Fighting, will be soon after Brett, who will be competing at the Glory event in New York. That's on June 22nd on Saturday. That's coming up June 22nd. So let's welcome in Brett. And again, Brett, I want to make sure I pronounce your last name. Is the H silent in your last name?
Halavacek.
Halav. I would have never in my life. You know, Guillermo and I were trying to see who was right, who was wrong. I think both of us were wrong. So it's Halavacek.
Halavacek. H-L-A-V-A-C-E-K. Yeah, it's Czech.
Wonderful, Brett. Well, thanks so very much for joining us here this evening on The Roman Show as you get ready for your fight June 22nd at Mahan's Hammerstein's Ballroom. You're going to have a great matchup. But, you know, I read an article about you. As far as how Glory could bring in kickboxing into the United States and give it more of a push, because there hasn't really been another promotion out there that has it. But why do you feel that Glory can do so here in the United States? And I noticed that there was a quote that said, people love to watch people get knocked out, and kickboxing delivers that. In MMA, sometimes they go to the ground and they start booing.
Absolutely. I mean, also with Glory, what they're doing is, you know, they're actually bringing world-class kickboxers, you know, all professional kickboxers to the forefront. They've got television deals, and they're paying these guys, you know, decent money so they can make a living off of it and, you know, put all their effort into kickboxing and not be a kickboxer at heart, but have to go to MMA just because they got to pay the bills. So, you know, they're actually investing money into it and, you know, promotion. Hello? Hello?
Hello, Brett, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. So this is co-host Guillermo Garcia. I think we lost Roman there for a second. But tell us about training with Crew Phil Nurse. How's that going for you?
It's going great. I mean, I've been with Phil for, I think, six, almost 7 years now. I kind of came to him already with a solid base of, you know, just Muay Thai and kickboxing. And he kind of took it to the next level. And he has me thinking outside of the box, you know, working on, you know, some untraditional stuff that you don't normally see in traditional Muay Thai or kickboxing, and it's been working great, so it's amazing.
Now, do you have any trouble getting one-on-one time with him? Because, of course, we see him on TV all the time with guys like GSP, and I'm sure he's got many other students, or do you usually work with some other guys that are associated with him, or are you able to get one-on-one time with Phil?
Absolutely. You know, he lets me know up front, you know, what's going on, and we kind of plan around it, and we have a good kind of teamwork on with some of the other trainers around the gym. I have some boxing trainers and strength and conditioning coaches, and we all just make a schedule that works. And no, I still see Phil every day.
Gotcha. Now, have you been over to Thailand to train, or have you basically been based in the U.S. your whole career?
No, I went to Thailand 2 years ago, and I trained there for like 2 or 3 weeks. Actually, I won a one-night six-man, four-man tournament. And the grand prize was a trip for two to Thailand. So I took advantage
nice.
Of that, and I won that tournament. Yeah, so I took the now wife, but back then fiance over, and we went to Thailand 2 years ago. And now, actually, tonight, I'm actually booking my next trip there. So, yeah,
excellent.
We definitely in and out.
And so are there definitely differences between the training that you had over there versus what you get over here in the U.S.?
There is. I mean, you know, over there, it's, you know, depending on where you go, if you go to one of the more competitive gyms, it's a lifestyle. It's a job. It's, you know, they can afford to do, you know, two and a half, 3 hour workouts at a slower pace. And in the United States and, you know, even more European and Dutch styles, you know, a lot of people have day jobs. So, you know, they do a super intense hour and a half workout. It's a little different, but, it's 10 times hotter there, and, you know, you're still working, you know, the same rate.
And I'm back again. Sorry about that, guys. I got kicked out here with the whole technical issues, but just butted into the conversation. But I want to mention again that Brett will fight Paul more for it, and that's June 22nd in New York. Having glory in New York, Brett, tell me how much New York appreciates the martial arts out there. You know, not yet. MMA is still not legalized there, but at least they could get a little kickboxing. But how do you think the reaction is from New Yorkers having some martial arts like kickboxing?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, besides the West Coast, I think, you know, we're the second, you know, biggest Muay Thai community, I think, in the nation right now. I mean, every weekend you will see that there's either kickboxing or Muay Thai going on in the city. And most of the shows sell out. It's amazing. They have it's definitely started out as an underground thing, and now, you know, past, you know, 5-6 years or whatever it is, you know, MMA and the UFC has been kind of getting super popular and kind of bringing kickboxing and Muay Thai along with it and educating fans. So these shows are just growing by the week.
That is just awesome. And I know there's a whole long list of great kickboxers that will be competing that night. And you can visit for more information, gloryworldseries.com. I think that folks can see it on the gloryworldseries.com website, the entire event, no?
Yeah.
They can see it out there.
If you can't make it to the show, obviously you want to get there and get tickets, but I believe you can stream it on their website, and it'll also be taped for television. You know, they have a TV deal with CBS Sports. So
that's
big things, you know. I mean, like I said, they're putting in time and effort to promote it properly, take care of the athletes, and make people aware of what's going on. So I think it's going to definitely pick up.
Absolutely. And another aside from your fight, any other fights that you're looking forward to watching in this card as a fan, not as a kickboxer?
I mean,
professional?
Oh, just as a fan, just in general, the tournament with Tyrone and all those guys, it's going to be it's going to be really, you know, he's favored to win, and I think he's going to win, but it's going to be pretty awesome to see him actually fight in person. I've always been a fan, so it's going to be kind of cool. I'm going to take a step back after my fight and just be a fan and watch him do his thing.
What I like about the glory is the tournament. You know, it's really whoever has the guts and the glories in this tournament. You know, you fight, you come back, you fight, you come back. I know the UFC used to do that way back in the day, but they don't do that anymore. But it just shows you how much determination a fighter has. And
you
could face it's awesome.
It's a whole different ballgame. You know, I just started my first tournament I did like this was, 2 years ago when I won that trip to Thailand. But, I just did the Road to Glory tournament recently. And it's a whole different mindset. You can't go out there and start throwing everything you got in a whole kitchen sink and then you injure your leg or something like that. It's definitely, and you got to go through the ups and downs of the adrenaline, you know, winning your first fight, and then you got to do it two more times. That's definitely cool. I mean, it's, you know, the Iron Man thing, that back in the day, even when Pride did the Grand Prix and all that stuff. But you don't see too much in the UFC anymore because I believe it's illegal. Not illegal, but the commission won't allow one-night tournaments anymore. So that's pretty much stopping them.
Yeah, and sometimes you even have to bite your tongue if you have an injury, if you really want that to win that tournament, huh? You have to just say, hey, I got to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get back to the locker room, and you got to get ice on something, and you want to start icing it and, you know, taking care of it, but then you got your opponent or his guys walking around, they see you with ice on your shin, so it's definitely interesting. It's a new thing to me, but I'm definitely enjoying it.
Well, Barry, I want to wish you good luck on that fight coming up. June 22nd in New York. You don't want to miss it. Glory 9 New York. You could watch the live stream at gloryworldseries.com. Brett, thank you so very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.
All right, there you heard it, folks. And I apologize there as I geeked out, but kudos to you, Guillermo, for stepping up, man.
Oh, man, I'm real interested in this stuff. You know, I get excited to ask questions.
Yeah, I love kickboxing. You know, the kickboxing is truly cool. I know sometimes, most of the time we dedicate our time to MMA, but if you guys haven't checked out Glory, you have to check it out, because these knockouts that they do in kickboxing, KO1, for example, where Alistair was, you know, they had some sick knockouts. So does Glory. Tyrone Spong, which I had the opportunity of interviewing, is an amazing dude going into kickboxing. And that's the thing with kickboxing, Muay Thai, the knockouts, just like MMA, but I think here in this particular sport, they could be as quick as 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and there's no going to the ground. And they're vicious, man. These knockouts are vicious.
No, absolutely. I agree. And if any of you have not had the chance to see some of the old K1 highlights, go on YouTube. I mean, YouTube has like 10, 15 minutes of videos of just vicious knockouts. And you don't have to wait like a minute and a half for a knockout to come. I mean, these are like 10-second clips, one after the other for 15 minutes of just these terrible, crazy knockouts. Those spinning wheel kicks that you've been seeing recently in the UFC that have only happened like 3 or 4 times in UFC history, well, these things happen all the time in that sport, you know, in K1. And they're even more vicious because, like, basically that's all these guys do. You know, and the fights are very, very quick. I mean, they're just 3-minute rounds, 5 rounds max. So, I mean, it's pretty crazy because you guys get the best guys in the world at punching and kicking and kneeing and all this stuff going at it. It's interesting, though, because they changed some of the rules, like, just a couple years ago. Alistair Overeem was really good at grabbing the back of the neck and kneeing you in the face. So K1 made it illegal to grab the back of the neck while you're kneeing. You can still knee, but you just can't grab the back of the neck anymore in kickboxing. But before Alistair Overeem, they used to allow that all the time. So you'll see plenty of those knockouts.
Wow. All right, let's go into a quick break. We'll be right back with Lyle here, who will be fighting out of the World Series of Fighting. We'll be right back after this short break.
Yeah. This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us. make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. We're back here on The Roman Show. Pumped, excited, Guillermo. Since the Miami Heat have moved forward to the finals, I know we're talking MMA, but just have to give a shout-out to the Miami Heat, who now advance and are just 4 wins of retaining the championship title in the NBA. To all those Heat haters out there, stop waiting for Kobe Bryant and the next team that's going to beat the Heat. Because every time, and I don't know if you notice this stuff, Guillermo, but every time, they always root for this team that just shows up out of nowhere. Now everybody's a Spurs fan. Earlier in the season, they were all Lakers fans.
I don't know if it was a joke or anything, but I don't know if it was you or someone else that posted like a picture of ESPN's poll from the whole country about who they think is going to win between the Heat and the Spurs, and the whole country basically picked the Spurs to win except for the state of Florida. I mean, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Literally 49 states picked the Spurs to win. One state picked the Heat to win Florida. I mean, really, like, are people that not that smart that they think the Heat are not going to win? I'm saying, like, you know, not necessarily 50 states picked the Heat to win, but come on, give us a little bit more respect than just one state.
Yeah, I don't understand what the hate is. I really don't. You know, last year they won fair and square. You know, first time around, they failed to win. You know, everybody started saying how the whole experiment, the big three, was a hoax. It's not going to work out. They came back the second year. They won the whole thing. Now, the pressure's on LeBron. Could they continue the championship run? Here we are the second season. Were they going to do the same thing when they come to the third season, when they go on and defend it for the third time? You know, because it seems if the team sticks together, I mean, we could be talking a back-to-back-to-back-to-back, maybe 4 or 5 titles in a row if they keep it up and they keep playing this way.
Because yeah, I mean, like, I think there's more pressure on the Spurs than the Heat in this series.
I mean, this is the Spurs' basic last chance before they get too old to win a title, you know? I mean, this is like it. You know, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Greg Popovich. How much more, many more seasons are they going to have with a chance to win a title? Not only that, they're playing without home court. So you tell me who's got more pressure. You know, LeBron's got no pressure. He just won the title last year. He's already got his title. But, I mean, of course he wants another one, but I don't think there's going to be as much pressure as there was last year.
Right. But then again, you know, you have everyone hating on them and saying that, oh, can it continue if they lose and it could be the end of the big three. And there's no one, I haven't heard now one media outlet there who speaks in some way in support of the Heat. If, only Stephen A. Smith, I think, was the only one who said, oh, the Heat will take it. But other than that, everyone's just against it. They always try to find something negative instead of giving the guys credit. They can never give these guys credit. But I'm done with this. We'll talk about after the finals when the Heat win. We celebrate on the streets of Miami. Let's call in Lyle Beerbohm, who fights Volkman at the World Series of Fighting in Las Vegas coming up on June 14th, Friday, this Friday coming up. It will be airing live on NBC Sports, and you can definitely watch that stuff for free, which is a great thing. You can never go wrong, so we're going to try to reach out to him right now as we speak. As we had some issues here on the line again, but it always happens out there. You know, it always happens with this Block Talk Radio and the situation. But nonetheless, we'll figure it out. Guillermo, wanted to talk to you real quickly about the matchup coming up this weekend on the UFC on Fuel TV 10 with Verdum. And we're going to have Verdum a little later today as we reach out to Lyle. What is your take on this this main event, two Brazilians going at it in Brazil? And this is obviously the ending of the Ultimate Fighter reality show over there in Brazil. What are your thoughts on this event? And we were having a conversation as far as the UFC and possibly discontinuing or suspending the Brazil Ultimate Fighter because the ratings just weren't there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've heard rumors about that. I don't know if it was the ratings or if maybe they don't got the TV contract right or what it is, but I've heard rumors about that. You know, they're just going to do the international editions maybe with other countries, but I've heard a rumor of that. It's not confirmed or anything like that, but that's what I've heard. The main event between Verdum and Nogueira, I just feel like Nogueira is just getting older and older. His performance, like the last few years, has not been that great. He's like been winning one, losing one, winning one, losing one. And I think Verdum's on the rise right now. He's been getting better and better every year. Ever since he beat Fedor, he's been on the upswing. And he's got the better striking, in my opinion, than Nogueira. And Nogueira's chin's been getting weaker over the years. And also, in terms of jiu-jitsu, they're about equal. I mean, Nogueira's a jiu-jitsu legend, but he got submitted by Mir. And Verdum's an Abu Dhabi world champion grappler. So, I mean, I wouldn't even say it still may be possible even for Verdum to win by submission. I'm not going to say that's going to happen, but Verdum can also win by striking and possibly knocking out Nogueira. I just think ultimately it'll either be Verdum by knockout or decision, in my opinion. I mean, it's a five-round fight, so I don't see it going five rounds. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll extend on that topic right now. We're going to welcome in Lyle Beerbohm, who fights in the World Series of Fighting June 14th on NBC Sports against UFC veteran Jacob Volkman. Welcome, Lyle, to the Roman Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, our pleasure, Lyle. Lyle, let's talk about the World Series of Fighting. It's your first fight in the company. You were in the UFC Strikeforce. You fought in several of the big promotions out there. And now you are debuting here in the World Series of Fighting, big company. Airing on NBC Sports. How did it come about with the whole negotiation with the World Series of Fighting? How did it come about going into this organization and getting this fight against Jacob, which is a phenomenal fighter himself?
You know, I got a manager named Jason Chambers. He got me the contract with the World Series of Fighting a few months ago, and then I've been looking for a fight, and then they offered me to fight Jacob Volkman, and I was gladly to take it. I'm glad they offered me that. I'm super glad to take the fight.
Well, you're definitely in a roll, Lyle. You have a six-fight winning streak, weighing up against Jacob, who just coming off with defeat. How do you think that momentum of a six-fight winning streak is going to come into play against Jacob?
You know, Jacob's tough. He fights veterans. He's been in the UFC. He went 6-2 in the lightweight division. You know, he's a three-time All-American wrestler. He's a 2008 grappling world champion. And so he's a tough fighter. He's a tough matchup. And this fight's going to be super exciting. You know, both of us want to be on top. And we're going to see how it goes. But, you know, it's the fans are going to like this fight just because there's going to be so much movement, so much scrambling. There's, you know, like I said, neither of us lay on bottom. Neither of us want to be on bottom. And so when you got two guys that are doing that to get on top, you know, it's a fun fight to watch.
Going in to this fight, Jacob, obviously, you know, he just got released from the UFC. Do you think he's just a little extra hungry? He has something more to prove and he's going to bring 150%? To this fight against you, and how are you prepared to battle this guy? Any specific training you've been doing?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely prepared. You know, I prepared myself more for this fight than any other fight, and so I'm ready to go. And I hope he does bring it. You know, I hope he better bring it because I'm ready to fight and I'm ready to go. So,
Guillermo.
Yeah. Now you had a very successful career. Up until the end of your Strikeforce career, where you lost to two top 10 guys in Pat Healy and Shinya Aoki, but you've been on a roll since then. What did you learn from those fights, and how has that contributed to your current winning streak?
You know, Pat Healy, he's definitely not, you know, he's just getting his recognition, you know, after his last UFC fight. He's a tough fight, and, you know, me and him are super close, you know, and Aoki, I made a mistake. I was a little too impatient with him. I give up my back and tried scrambling up, and he caught me with a, you know, neck crank. And, you know, I learned a lot. You know, I'm still new into the game when it comes down to it. I've been fighting for about 5 or 6 years, and I'm still learning. I'm still in the game, still learning, and so I get better and better every day. And then fighting those guys, you know, it's just made me better.
Yeah, now, you know, like you said, you've only been at this 5 or 6 years. I mean, what future goals here do you have for the remainder of your career? What do you want to accomplish before it's over?
You know, my present goal is I want to be the World Series of Fighting champ. You know, that's what I, you know, I'm in that organization and they don't have a champ and I want to be their champ.
Gotcha. Now, you know, it's been talked about a lot with your career, you know, that you were in jail and MMA kind of saved your life, you said. You don't have any urges to go back to that old lifestyle at all. You don't have that urge at all. You want to just keep it straight and narrow in MMA, right?
Oh, yeah, man. I got, you know, MMA has saved my life. It put my head back on my shoulders and it's made me think right. And it's given, you know, now I have my two wonderful boys, my young boys that I, and I got a great fiance, and you know, even if I broke my neck tomorrow, man, I'm good to go. I don't, you know, that was my past, and this is the future, you know. So,
yeah, it's a great story with you. You know, we had Frank Shamrock, who was in a similar situation, who dealt with drugs and so forth, and how MMA saved. And it's just amazing how MMA could definitely just save a person's life, like it did on your end, Lyle. And I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, how the story goes, as soon as you were in prison and when you were released, you were with your father or grandfather and you were touring for some jiu-jitsu schools because in high school you were a wrestler. That's how the story goes?
Yep. Nope. I got out of Walla Walla. I decided I wanted to fight in prison. I got out of Walla Walla State Penitentiary, and on our way home, we roll by this jiu-jitsu place and I made my dad stop. And we stopped and I said, Dad, and you got to stop, you got to stop. And so he pulls over, and I go in there, and the guy throws me a gi, and I don't know what a gi is at that point. I was like, oh, okay. So I put it on, and I start grappling with the guys, and, man, I fell in love. And 8 days later after that, I had my first cage fight, you know, and I haven't stopped since.
How cool is that? You know, a sport just rescued a person's life just like that. And now you were noticed, you may know, you were aware of MMA because you saw – The Ultimate Fighter in prison. You saw a clip.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep, exactly. I was sitting there in my cell, and my cellie had a TV, and we were watching. And the Ultimate Fighter comes on, and I didn't know nothing about it. And I was like, you know, before that, 6 years before that, I was running the streets shooting meth in my arm, you know. And I never watched TV. I didn't care about none of that crap. And And so I was sitting there, and the Ultimate Fighter comes on, and I just says, are you kidding me? These guys are on TV making money. And right then and there, I just knew deep down in my heart that that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I was going to do when I got out.
Now, Lyle, before you were in prison, but after your wrestling career in high school, were you in any fights at that point that led you to believe that you would be good at fighting for a career?
Yeah, I used to get in scraps all the time, in high school, and, definitely. I used to fight, but, it's two different things, street fighting and mixed martial arts, I mean, you got to be trained, and you got to be, even nowadays, if someone wanted to fight me, I'm like, no, thank you. I'll just walk away, But back then, I liked to fight whoever, whenever, however.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you knew at that point that, you could take a shot in the face and not give up, So
that's
good to know that you have that determination.
That's just awesome. Yeah, and now, do you yourself, Lyle, give advice now to other children or teenagers that are going through some tough times, have served more of an example?
Yeah, I went back to my old high school and I talked to all the wrestling kids, and, this just, my story is, it's a great story just because the simple fact is it's never too late. I was living on the streets. I was doing bad things to get money, and I didn't want to change. I was as bad as it gets, and look at me now. And so it's never too late to change.
As rude or weird as it might sound, prison basically opened your eyes and changed your life. And then that's where you found out about MMA. Would you go ahead and say as far as that?
Yeah, for sure. It got me cleaned up. It got me cleaned up, and I went in and out of jail for many years, in and out. And I'd go in for 30 days and get out and go straight back to the needle, But prison, I got sentenced and I had to do some time. So that got me cleaned up and then got me thinking a little bit. And then all of a sudden, like I said, the TV show came up, popped up, and truthfully, I don't know if I would have stayed off drugs if it wasn't for MMA. I don't think I would have, even though I was clean for a while, but, you get out and you go get a job and one thing leads to another. But I traded one addiction. I traded my meth addiction for my MMA addiction. It's as simple as that.
That is just awesome, Lyle. And you know what? That, my hat off to you and hopefully other folks out there that are going through some issues. Hey, there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel. If Lyle could do it, you can do it. Lyle,
sure.
I want to thank you.
And it's not just MMA, You could do a lot of different things when it comes down to it. You don't have, just find something to do. Keep your mind busy. Go find a hobby.
Absolutely. Lyle, well, I want to thank you for joining us this evening here on The Roman Show. Anything else you would like to add or give thanks to?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely looking for sponsors for this fight. I got it, like I said, June 14th, live on NBC Sports. And if anybody would be willing to or interested in sponsoring me, you can hit me up on Facebook. You message me on Facebook, and that'd be great.
That's awesome. Well, Lyle, thank you so much. Good luck against Jacob. You can watch it live on NBC Sports June 14th, a week from this Friday. Thank you very much, Lyle, and good luck.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Bye.
Will do. Thank you very much. Well, what a great story there from Lyle Guillermo. And just like Lyle, there are several others that I mentioned. Frank Shamrock, MMA veteran, well-known, who if there was another Hall of Fame, Frank Shamrock should be there should already be there. I don't know if he'll ever get into the UFC Hall of Fame.
Frank Shamrock should be in the UFC Hall of Fame. He earned his way a long time ago. It's just his grudge between him and Dana, the reason he doesn't get in. And that's not right. If there's an NFL player who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame and he doesn't get along with Roger Goodell, you tell me he's not going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame? Of course he is.
Right.
Of course he's going to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. Who cares if he doesn't get along with Roger Goodell? But, in the UFC, that's not quite the way it works. You don't get along with Dana White.
That
could be enough to keep you out. I mean, Tito was such a big thing, and it wasn't until he made up with Dana that they finally put him in the Hall of Fame. Had he never made up with Dana, I don't know if he'd be in there right now.
Mm-hmm. But this story that Lyle just gave us, it gives a lot of hope to many out there who are having issues that use martial arts as a way to get away from those bad habits. And Lyle is a perfect example, just like Frank. And it's always inspiring and nice to hear a story like that. All right, well, switching gears from the national level, as far as the World Series of Fighting, we're going to go to another national promotion, and that's CFA, where Luis Baboon Palomino fights. And Luis Baboon Palomino, we're calling him right now, has been a hot topic on social media because he's been calling the CFA lightweight champion out. And it seemed it worked because the fight could happen soon. We reach out to Luis Baboon Palomino.
Hello?
Hello. Baboon, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show.
How you doing, Roman?
Good, good. You're on with Guillermo and myself. Baboon, you've been a hot topic on social media, man. Right, soon after your victory, the knockout victory, which was a highlight reel on Access TV Inside MMA against Robert Washington. Right after, you called out the CFA champion, Luis Buscape, who you fought in CFA 09 for that same title, and you said, hey, look, I knocked him out, I deserve a rematch. And it worked, because the CEO of CFA, Jorge Naloval, seems that he's all for it. So what's going on with the situation right now? No contract has been signed yet?
Well, yeah, it worked, but it took a hell of a lot for it to work, to tell you the truth. Buscape Firmino was running from me. And there's no other way I can put it to you. He was running from me. Jorge Naloval, CFA CEO, promised me my rematch as long as I won decisively against Robert Washington. I did my job. I knocked him out. I earned my rematch. But yet, Buscape was still trying to run from the fight. He was not trying to give me the opportunity I gave him once when I gave him the opportunity to fight for the title. Because that's how it was. And I had to pressure him. I never really wanted to fight Sean Soriano because I don't really want to drop to 145. I don't want to drop to 145. I'd rather fight at 155. But I told Buscape, in a form of pressuring him and the entire Brazilian camp to let him know that he needs to fight. I told him, look, if you don't step up and don't give him a rematch, then I'm going to take your little brother's belt, And sure enough, the champ, Soriano, said, hey, well, I'll defend my belt against anybody. And he stood for himself. So there was nothing left for Buscape to stand up for himself. But yet, he never answered to anything that I wrote. Next thing you know, he gives me a phone call to my phone. And I don't know how he got my phone number, but he calls me. And he's cursing and screaming and all this. And I'm telling him, look, man, just sign the contract and send it, And he continues to curse and scream, and then in the end of it, he says, well, look, let's winner takes all. And I said, bro, sign the contract and send it, man. I'm ready. And after this happened, I guess he thought that I would back out of this. When I accepted this this proposal about winner takes all, because it was his idea, he went and tweeted, oh, CFA, give me a better challenge. I played with this guy like he was my student, et cetera, et cetera. Still trying not to fight me. After he already called me and came up with this proposal about winner takes all, and I don't know what, he was still trying to avoid the fight. So then the fans is really what made the difference. The fans demanded the fight. The fans started asking CFA for the fight, and, it came to the conclusion of Jorge Naloval giving me a call and telling me, look, we're going to do this. Winner takes all, title and purse, and it's going to happen. Yet, to this day, I still haven't received my contract, so I don't know how true everything is at this moment.
Well, so he called you as soon as you went out there on social media. Now, you haven't spoken to this guy since you fought him or seen him since you fought him?
Yeah, I haven't seen him since we fought.
Now, and I want to bring this up because prior to the fight, you guys had like a little heated battle in the press conference and in the weigh-ins.
It was all due to his nerf, huh?
Now, when you meet again, do you think that's going to escalate even more this time around?
Oh, it's going to be worse. I mean, they're going to have some type of security there because he's going to be out of control. I'm a very calm person, man. I know what I've got to do. I'm very professional. I'm not usually your type of guy to go and call somebody out and disrespect them or anything. The thing is that this fight is a personal thing. It's escalated to a personal level. And the guy is literally trying to hide from me, trying not to fight me at all costs. The guy even booked a fight in Peru, man. You know what I mean? When he has he's contracted to fight in August, he booked a fight in Peru to fight this month. You know, and he's not allowed to do that. I wasn't allowed to do that. You know, I was asking for permission to fight when I wasn't booked to fight in CFA 10. I wasn't allowed the chance to fight. So he can't do that either, you know. And George told him what's up. We set up the fight. The fight's ready to go. But the way that he acts, the way that he is, man, things are definitely going to be heated. I'm keeping myself professional. I'm not going nowhere near him until we get in that cage where I'm going to go and do all my job.
Yeah. Wow, so there's definitely a lot of heat in this matchup coming up. Now,
yeah,
you know,
this is
going to
be serious.
The contract hasn't been signed, but do you think that possibly we could be seeing it in the next CFA show in August?
Well, it has to be because Jorge Noval already promoted it as well. He tweeted it. He posted it on Facebook. He said the fight is done. The word, his word is given. Buscapé's word has been given. I've been accepted and been boosting this fight up. So all the words are in. I'm just waiting for my contract to make it official.
And winner take all, money, purse, and title.
Yes, sir. Winner takes all. Loser walks out with nothing.
Wow, that's a lot on the line. That's just crazy, Guillermo.
Yeah, now, Luis, you had a lot of trouble with him in the last fight. For the people who don't already know, please explain what happened during that last fight and what you're going to do differently this time to win.
Okay, well, basically, this fight is your typical striker versus grappler type of fight. He did the best that he can do and the most that he can do, he did in our first fight. In our first fight, I lost a good 4 rounds by being held down. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I faced better wrestlers than him. I faced better grapplers than him. This last fight, there was two big issues. One, I was in the middle of a big camp change for the first time ever in my life. I didn't really have a real camp. I was going back and forth to different gyms, and I didn't have the specific training for the fight. I barely even did any sparring with takedowns involved. I was doing more boxing, I was doing more cardio than anything. And the specific, styles make fights, and you have to prepare a certain way for a certain style. And I didn't do that with this fight. That's number one. Number two, size difference. I was a lot smaller when I fought Buscapé than I was when I fought Robert Washington. I was a lot smaller when I fought Buscapé than when I fought Ever in 155, period, due to all the excessive cardio I did. The day I fought him, I was weighing 162. He must have been at least in a minimum 185. You know, I'm not going to bring in the whole drug use issues, but it's pretty damn visual that the guy is not all natural, man. You know, it's pretty damn visual. If you look at his pictures from a year ago to now, please, you know, but whatever. We'll put that to the side. If he can be on whatever he wants to be the day of this fight in August, the truth is I will be my strongest. I will be heavier. I'll be stronger. And the weight issue ain't going to be a problem this time. I will work on my wrestling and my grappling. But the truth of the matter is everything is in the preparation for the fight, getting ready for the fight the proper way. You know, and that's basically what the biggest issue there.
Yeah, I know this fight's going to bring in a lot of fireworks between you two. I just hope both of you guys keep your cool before releasing it in the cage, because I don't know, that last fight that I saw between you guys and the press conference and the weigh-ins, shoot, you know, you have to need like a SWAT team there because both of you guys were going to go at it.
Yeah, well, it was mostly on his – it was mostly – I think if you look at the press conference video and you look at the weigh-ins video, all I did is what I always do, man. I stand my ground and face off. This dude was like, please don't come close to me. I'm going to push you. I'm going to scream. I'm going to shout. You know, I think it was his nerve attacking him more than anything. There was no real beef in the beginning. Now you can say that there's problems. Now you can say Baboon disrespecting me. Now you can say, you know, Baboon insulted me. Because, yeah, I did. I called him a faggot. I called him a pussy. I called him all the names that you can imagine, because he doesn't deserve to have that belt, man. A real champion is not going to be hiding from the top contender. Who else is a top contender in CFA at 155? Nobody's above me. CFA, at 155, all the fighters in CFA at 155 fight in between each other in the 155 roster. When Baboon fights, he doesn't fight the rest of the guys that are on the roster. No, they fly somebody in for Baboon. They get a guy that just came out of UFC or a guy that just came out of Strikeforce. a guy that's in the top rankings, and Babu takes him down and finishes him. I fought five times for the show, and I lost one fight to a decision. He did the best that he can do. What, lay on top of me? Look at my face after the fight, man. He didn't even hurt me. Okay, he won. He made time pass by. He held me down, made it look like he was ground and pounding, but he wasn't hurting me. I couldn't get up because he was a lot more powerful, but this is not going to happen again. I'm going to finish this guy. I'm going to knock him out. It's guaranteed.
Wow, man. Well, you're getting me already rallied up, man, for this fight, man. Luis Babu Palomino and Buscapé too, coming to an arena near you. Perhaps I'm hoping in August, and it's going to be a great fight. We're going to see a different Palomino and perhaps even a different Buscapé. But you got to give credit where credit is due because Sean Soriano, the CFA featherweight title, you called him out and said, look, if he's not step up by him, and Soriano was all for it.
Yeah, I came with my head. Soriano, I never had a problem with the kid. I don't have nothing against him. If anything, I give him more respect now than I had before just for standing up, you know, and holding his ground as a champion, even if it was just words, even if who knows what's going to happen when the day came, you know. I really doubt that if I would have ever gone through, but, you know, the guy stood his ground, you know, set his foot on the floor and said, hey, look, I'll defend my belt against anybody, while the other guy has been quiet all this time, you know what I mean? So, yeah, here are my respects, man.
Well, hopefully we hear from Buscapé because aside from that tweet he posted, we haven't really heard anything from him.
Palomino, yeah, he tweeted one time, that was it. He tweeted once or twice, that was it.
That's pretty much it. We haven't heard from him, and he is
yep.
a champion. And you know what? I think he started a trend, Palomino, because another fighter of CFA, Pablo Alfonso, called out another CFA champion, and that's Josh Sampo. So I think he's just hyping up everyone else, Palomino.
Yeah, man, hey, man. You know, sometimes when the things that you want are not given to you, man, you got to stand up, go out and get it, man. And, you know, I think I deserve this title shot. I think I, you know, just the same way that CFA blessed me with being either the main event or the co-main event in most of the shows that I fought for them, if not all, that at the same time that, you know, they've blessed me, I would say that I've given them, you know, great fights, great exciting fights, great finishes. And I don't think there's anybody that's above me in the 155 division. I don't think there's anybody else that deserves this title shot more than I do.
And last question, your fight aired on Access TV. Tell me about the reaction you got from folks who watched it from home because, you know, you had been on a couple of fights on TV, but this one was it, dude. I mean, you were on national TV live Friday night. It was a show that was watched very much so, and for goodness sake, it was actually trending on Twitter. So what has been the feedback from the folks that watched
you
live on TV?
Oh, man, big time feedback. And everybody hitting me up, everybody talking about it. They didn't only see that fight, but they also seen the post press conference videos. So I have people that are flying in from different states to come and see this next fight, man. So yeah, big time. You know, I'm grateful about the whole opportunity to be out there, man. I've gotten big time feedback from everybody from all over the place, man.
Well, Palomino, I want to thank you so much, man, and hope to see that fight soon, man. Can't wait for it.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on the show, Roman.
Thank you, Palomino. Have a good night.
You too, brother.
Take care, folks. You know, Guillermo, I'm telling you, I'm really scared of what's going to happen in that press conference with Palomino and Buscapé, or even at the weigh-ins, you know, because I tend to announce those weigh-ins, and I just don't want to be in the middle of it, man. I'll make sure to be, like, next to the ring girl or something, you know? Just get away. I don't want to be in the middle of it at all.
I like listening to Palomino talk, man, on our show. he gets me excited. He makes me smile about MMA.
I know. I'm like, shoot, let's get this. You know what? Forget it, Cage. Let's go up to the backyard. Let's get this thing going. I want to see this fight.
Yeah, he gets me excited. He's like really into it. So so I pay extra close attention.
It does. I'm telling you, I want to see his fight. I think it's going to be exciting. You know, we've spoken to Palomino several times. He told us about what happened to him last time with the whole cardio issue. And we saw it this time around. Completely different fighter. Knocked out his opponent in a nice way, too. He kind of went falling down like a tree. And he's chopped off Robert Washington. And that ended up on a highlight on Inside MMA. So no doubt about it, Palomino will be a different fighter against Buscapé. And that's one thing about Palomino. He's an exciting fighter. You know, he doesn't like to go underground. He likes to give you the capoeira kicks and the striking. And we didn't see too much of that when he fought Buscape, because Buscape just brought him to the floor and used the jiu-jitsu skill. You know, and don't get me wrong, his jiu-jitsu is phenomenal, Buscape. But if we could keep this thing up there, you can definitely expect a nice fight between these two, as Palomino and Buscape, number two, for the CF8 lightweight title, coming to an arena near you, as he had stated. All right, guys, we're going to go to a quick break again, and we'll be right back with Scott Holtzman of the XFC, who fights in the next upcoming show, June 20. Let me get the correct date here. I know I always get it wrong, but it will be airing live June 14th. Actually, June 14th is next Friday also. Wow. Damn, Guillermo, we got two shows the same day. Look at that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hopefully I can catch one of them, because I don't have access to TV, so I have to see if I have NBC Sports Channel to see if I can get World Series of Fighting.
There you go, back to back. You could always TiVo it, and they always air it online, so that's a good thing.
You have access to TV in your house? You do, right?
I don't, unfortunately. I don't, but you know, on Comcast, but you know, I saw on Comcast that you do, that Comcast does have it. I have to double check, but I saw on the website that.
Well, my cable has it, but I have to pay like an extra $30 more a month for the package that has it, you know? So I was like, I'm not going to do that.
And well, that's Comcast?
No. I have AT&T.
Oh, AT&T. Well, see, I have Comcast, and according to this, it airs on 783. I have to check myself, because honestly, I haven't. But you can see the main event with it's going to be between Holtzman and Marlow for the vacant lightweight title championship. I want to let you guys know what exactly happened here. Nick Newell was the lightweight champion. He did not want to fight Holtzman. So the president, Prisco, of the XFC, took the belt away from Nick Newell and now has put it on the line between these two gentlemen, who will compete June 14th. Newell has now been signed by the World Series of Fighting and will be competing in that event coming up next Friday. I believe it's next Friday. I'll double check on the date. If he is fighting on that fight card. But he will be competing for the World Series of Fighting, and that's Nick Newell. So now we get Holtzman and Marlow. And Holtzman is an undefeated fighter, just as was Nick Newell. Marlow is more of a veteran coming in to this fight. So it's going to be see how experience comes into play against an undefeated fighter. So we'll find that out next Friday. We'll be right back after the short break.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop, or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH, or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
Yeah, as I said, Newell has signed with the World Series of Fighting before we went to commercial break, and he's expected to fight sometime in the summertime. Not in this specific show that's coming up this Friday on the 14th, but he will compete there as he was released by the XFC. But Scott Holtzman, he's fighting for that belt that once belonged to that man. But first, he has to go through his opponent. And this show will air live on Access TV next Friday, June 14th. Hey, Scott, welcome to The Roman Show, sir. How are you? Hello, Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, pretty good. Welcome to The Roman Show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Awesome, man. Can't complain. So you're getting ready for your fight against John Molo. You didn't get to fight the champion, Nick Newell, because he ended up leaving. But now the belt is vacant, and it's going to be between you and your opponent coming up on XFC June 14th as they return to Tampa. Scott, going into this fight, And recollecting when the whole incident happened with the news, what was your first reaction? What was your first thing that went through the head when the original champion, Ik Nuhu, did not want to fight you?
Well, obviously I was upset at first because I've been preparing for him for a few months, and I thought he went about it pretty unprofessionally. But, you know, I didn't dwell on it too long. I knew they'd find me another opponent, and I knew it'd work out and I would end up fighting anyway. So I didn't really let it break my focus. I didn't miss any training or anything like that. So, you know, I didn't let it all get to me and consume me. I allowed myself 24 hours to be mad over it, and then that was it. I knew they'd find me somebody else, and they would probably be tougher than Nick. So that's what they did.
That was my next question. Ik Nuhu, who, I don't want to take credit to him. He's a great fighter. But John Moldo is a veteran of the sport. He's been in there with some great fighters. Do you find John more of a challenge going into this fight? And is it, you know, you're an undefeated fighter. Haven't lost yet. But how much of a better fight is this one?
I think this is a much tougher fight. Obviously, you know, Melo's a rugged veteran. He's durable, he's tough, had some slick submissions, and, you know, he's been five rounds before and got a win, not to mention he's been in there with some world-class guys. So, much tougher fight, really experienced, but, and, you know, obviously a big opportunity for me as well. Anytime, you know, Ik Nuhu was a big opportunity, this one is big as well, in a different sense.
Considering that you kept your cool through this whole transition, but thankfully you're still getting that shot at the title, do you think you've become more of a fan favorite to XFC fans? Because you were able to keep your cool and calm and say, I'm ready to step up to the plate no matter what?
I don't know. I you know, I would hope that people respect my mentality as a fighter. You know, I'm kind of an old school type of guy, I guess I could call myself, where, you know, I do my talking in the cage. I'm not a guy that's on Facebook or Twitter, you know, calling everybody out or doing this or that. I fight whoever they put out in front of me, and I do my talking in the cage. And, you know, I hope people respect that. But, you know, different fans like different things out of fighters. Some people like the Nick Diaz's of the sport. Some people like the GSPs of the sport. So, you know, I'm just me. That's all I can do. And I carry myself a certain way. If people like it, that's great. If not, you know, maybe they'll watch either way to see me get beat up or to see me win.
Guillermo?
Yeah, no, Scott, you know, at first sight, you know, John Moldo, 13-13 record, hasn't fought in a year, has no KOs on his record. I mean, it'd be easy to take him lightly. I mean, have you had any problems with that at all, or are you really taking him super seriously?
No, there's no way I'm taking him lightly, man. He's I've actually seen him fight live once. He fought a friend of mine, Rafaelo Oliveira, and, you know, had Hoffy and a few submissions and did some things well that fight. So he's fought some tough guys. It's not like he's lost to unnamed guys. No, I don't take him lightly at all. Anybody that's been in there with world-class guys, you have to take seriously, and I don't ever take anybody lightly, man. A fight is 50-50. When you get in there, one punch in the right spot, and you can go down. So.
Yeah, now 10 out of his 13 victories have been by submission. So is that what you're mainly concerned with, just submission defense, or are you worried with other aspects of his game as well?
I'm worried about everything. I don't say, hey, this guy can't beat me here. There are areas where I think I'll have an advantage, but I always train everything. It's not like I've just put one aspect of the game on the back burner while training for him. Obviously, I've upped my submission defense in certain areas, but no, I don't really. I always train everything and just focus on what I do well and not get too caught up on what he's going to do.
Well, when Ik Nuhu pulled out of the fight, were you disappointed not to get to fight Nuhu, or do you have any personal vendetta against him, or you just don't care about Ik Nuhu at all?
Well, I was really disappointed. I honestly don't like Nick as a person. I don't like how he carries himself. I've been behind the scenes with him a few times, and you know, so it was a fight I was really looking forward to, and I really wanted to expose him a little bit. like to everybody, but it was a bit personal, and I was upset not to get the fight, but, you know, now that's neither here nor there. Maybe down the line sometime I'll get another shot, but right now it's all John Melo, man.
That is just, Scott, you know, Scott, that's just awesome, and going up for that title, going at it. I think it just, you know, when there's a vacant title for a fan, it makes it more exciting. I don't know if it's just for me because no one owns the thing, you know, and it's just two guys just fighting for it, giving it their all to earn that title spot. When, I don't know, for me as a fan, I just find it more exciting, and I'm sure this was going to be the same thing coming up the next Friday.
Yeah, no doubt. It's definitely exciting. I mean, it's almost like, you know, putting a piece of cheese on top of your hamburger or something.
Uh-huh.
I guess. You know, it's not just another fight. You got two guys that are, you know, obviously it's a 5-round fight, but there's a little more incentive there. You know, there's a title on the line. So it's really cool to see, you know, it's a cool situation and definitely a good opportunity. That's for sure.
It makes both the guys inside that cage even hungrier. Scott, thank you so very much for joining us. Anything else you'd like to add or give thanks?
No, man, just, you know, thanks to all the friends, families, XFC, training partners, and you guys, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And anytime you guys want to have me, I'd be glad to come back.
Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate it. Have a good night, and good luck next week.
All righty. Thank you. Take care.
Well, dude, thank you so much. All right, there it is, Scott Holtzman. I'm telling you, I love fights, Guillermo, when the title is up in the air. It just, I'm telling you, it makes the fighters hungrier. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know what your take on it, but it's just like I told them. You know, it's like if you have two guys who haven't ate in years and you put a burger in the middle, you know they're going to give 130, 55, whatever it is, percentage. They're going to give it their all.
You know, the thing is, like, when you have, like, an established champion, it just feels like, you know, the champion's so much of a favorite that it's not as exciting because a lot of people just expect the champion to win. It doesn't seem like it's a 50-50 fight. But when you have two guys like this, like one guy who's a veteran who's fought so many times, and then the other one, the newcomer, you know, who hasn't lost yet, you just don't know what's going to happen. Will experience win, or will this newcomer have something special that'll prove to be, like, you know, the thing that's going to lead him to victory? You just don't know. So, I mean, like, it's definitely more of a toss-up, and that makes it more exciting.
It does. It's a lot of fun. Again, you can watch that next Friday on Access TV. And now that we spoke to Scott, we're going to speak to Eric Reynolds, who fought Newell for the title back in December. And now he's going to be fighting in this card against Kevin Ferrant, who is undefeated. And Reynolds is a veteran of the sport. So let's see, it will be a fresh face versus a veteran.
Hello,
Eric? Hey, Eric, welcome to the Roman Show. How are you, Eric? Sorry we're a little late here. But thanks so much, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
Awesome, Eric. Well, let's talk about your fight coming up next Friday against Kevin Ferrant. You know, here you are. You're a veteran of the sport. You're going up against an undefeated fighter. How much of your experience is it going to come into play against this guy? And how are you preparing for him?
I'm preparing him for him just like any other guy. You know, the fact that he's undefeated, it doesn't scare me or veer me away in any kind of way. So I'm just, you know, doing the basics, you know, still a student of jiu-jitsu and constantly evolving. I got the confidence and youth on them, so I'm gonna attack it anywhere and everywhere.
Now, you last fought in December for the title against Newell. You haven't fought since. Why the 6-month layoff?
Well, I wanted to improve on my ground game so that I to the rear naked choke. So I just wanted, you know, to make sure that I'm not going to go in there and make the same mistake twice. I don't want to, you know, that's my third loss to a rear naked choke, so I just took the time off to, you know, study the jiu-jitsu and just get my game tight so I'm not going to give up my back at all.
Now, you know, Eric, your experience in MMA is phenomenal. You fought the likes of George Masvidal, Palomino, Baboon Luis Palomino, which we just had on the phone, and also Eddie Alvarez, the Bellator champion. Going down the list, your experience is just awesome. Now, how improving, you know, I've always heard the theory of, you know, that every day you learn something new. And it's rear naked choke. You said that you're having an issue. What are some of the things that you've been doing in the gym, in the training room, to perfect yourself on escaping another possible rear naked choke? What are some of the things that you've been learning?
Just positioning, just preventing the positioning before it happens. You know, just more control of that aspect. Because if I can't, you know, if I don't do my backup, then you can't get a rear naked choke. So it's pretty cut and dry. It's pretty simple. But I also, you know, put myself in worst case scenarios. I, you know, starting in position where I'm already getting choked out when I'm tired, and after a long day of sparring and training, you know, and everyone's wanting to go home, I'll make the guys put me in bad positions, and that being one of them, and I'll work out of it. So I also train with guys that, you know, have a lot more weight on me too, so I'm giving up a lot of weight in the gym, so I don't feel like I'll face anybody with that type of strength. I feel like I've definitely fixed that aspect of my game.
Yeah, now Eric, you know, you're 5'11", but you're in the lightweight division. Are you cutting a massive amount of weight for all these fights?
No, I cut more weight in the beginning than I do now. I made the, you know, adjustments from the diet and everything like that. I've never cut more than 10 pounds. And like I said, I cut less than that nowadays. So I got it figured out. I don't believe in the whole walk around 185 pounds to fight 155 pounds. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not a believer on that. I know a lot of guys choose to do massive weight cuts, but I don't feel like you're going to be a longevity – have a long career in the sport doing that. And, you know, I've been pro since I was, you know, going on 7 years now. I plan on doing this for the future also. So I'm doing it smart. I'm juicing and eating clean, eating fish and chicken and a lot of water, and trying to stay away from all that stuff that comes from a package.
Gotcha. Now, I really like your nickname, you know, Eric, it's a rap Reynolds, you know, playing on Reynolds rap and all that. I mean, did you come up with that yourself, or did somebody else come up with that?
It just kind of got stuck with me, because I was finished, you know, I started off my career 9-0 and with 9 finishes and all in the first round. And I just, you know, I had just went out there and did my thing in a timely manner. And I was, so it was wrapping it up. It was just going out there and, but, I mean, I got kind of, you know, a few other nicknames with the ER, sending a lot of people to the emergency room, but it's a rap what stuck.
Gotcha. Now, what goals do you have for the rest of this year? How many more times do you want to fight? What do you want to accomplish here coming up in the next year or two?
Well, I want to start with June 14th at XFC, you know, and I want to make a statement of, you know, considering my last fight was a loss, I want to go out there and make a statement this fight. Make people want to tune in and see when watch out for it when Eric Reynolds is fighting again. You know, that I want people to want to see me fight. But the only way to do that is going out there and showcasing my skills in the cage in prime time, doing the work. You know, because everyone trains hard in the gym, and everyone does that, but you don't get to see all that. I want to be seen through the fighting. I want to show everybody, show the world what I've been working on, and the smoothness and the transitions and everything like that. So I want just people to want to see me. So I plan on getting this fight in, and maybe a couple more before the end of the year. But I want people to want to see me.
Gotcha. Well, Eric, we want to thank you so much for taking some time and speaking to us. And you can catch him live on Access TV next Friday as the XFC returns to Tampa. And I got to ask you that. You know, the XFC, has been on tour pretty much, you know, visiting all these different states. And the XFT returns to Tampa. How was it to for the XFT to return back to his starting ground?
Oh, man, it's like my backyard. I'm undefeated here. This is like my home field advantage, so to speak. But now I love it. You know, it's XFT. This is where the birthplace of the XFT, and it's always, you know, it's always going to be. Tampa's a great fight town, so it's always going to be a good night fight. So definitely tune in and watch it.
Awesome, Eric. Well, I want to thank you so very much, and you can visit officialxft.com for more information. Eric, thanks so much, man, and good luck.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right, it's a wrap.
It sure is. Eric, it's a wrap, Raydos, and a Roman show, as he'll be fighting undefeated fighter Kevin Ferrant next Friday, June 14th. And then he also got the World Series of Fighting. On World Series on NBC Sports. So a lot of MMA, and then followed by the UFC 161. It's a great stuff. But this Saturday, Guillermo, the UFC on Fuel TV takes place. And we had the opportunity of interviewing the main eventer, Fabrício Werdum, who faces Antonio Nogueira. So let's listen into Fabrício Werdum here on The Roman Show after this small commercial break.
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
I'm Roman of The Roman Show here with Fabrício Werdum, who fights this weekend on Fuel TV. Werdum returns to fight back home in Brazil. First and foremost, Werdum, tell me about this fight against Nogueira. You were part of the Ultimate Fighting Brazil. Tell me a little bit about the experience that you had in the reality show.
Yeah, man, it's very good experience I had. The show is amazing. I like it because I have a lot of experience. I just pass my experience for the guys. I am trained there. I help the guys. For sure, I did again. I have a good idea after this fight. Maybe I'm winning, beat Nogueira. I have a good idea. The next one, maybe the Ultimate Fighter in Mexican, yeah? Maybe versus Velasquez. So, yeah, maybe it's a good idea.
So you're definitely looking forward to perhaps doing another one if you had an opportunity.
Yes, yes.
When your time comes to retire, do you think of taking it more seriously when it comes to coaching?
Yes, I like the idea. After I stop the fight.
Uh-huh.
Yes, after that.
Wonderful.
I'm just like a coach, maybe. I'm working Focus Deportes, and I'm working the commentary in UFC 2 in Spanish. Yeah, I like the idea.
Great. So let's talk about your opponent, Nogueira, this Saturday. You're both fighting in Brazil. You're both Brazilian. And I read an article that you said that you feel that Nogueira will be a fan favorite. How come? Why do you say that?
Yes, he is very, very famous. He is a legend for the sport. Nogueira heavy. He trained a lot. He good boxing. Now in Brazil, I'm very excited for this fight. Imagine here in Fortaleza, Brazil, for sure is a lot of fans watch this fight. Everybody wait this fight. Yeah, I'm just excited. I'm just seeing the victory. I know Nogueira is very dangerous. They have good boxing, good jiu-jitsu, but I'm training a lot too. I don't have a camp. I am just keep going the training. When I'm not have a fight, I'm just keep going the training. But I'm ready for the fight, man. I'm very excited.
So coming into this fight, knowing that you haven't fought in about a year, but you do have two back-to-back wins from last year, will that momentum carry on to this fight?
Yes, because the last time I won a fight with him in 2006 is a completely different time. No? I mean, now I'm just like a 100% professional. I'm training a lot, stand up too. I'm training wrestling, jiu-jitsu. For sure it's different time now. I know it's Dongueira is very dangerous, but I'm ready.
Now, going into this fight too, Verdum, you're pretty much next in line. I read in an article that the UFC president Dana White said that with a victory you could possibly get a title shot. And going in this fight knowing that Cain and JDS will fight for Velasquez's title, any preference there, and who do you see winning that fight?
Yeah, I want the big fight. I don't want the one like a decision fight. I want the five rounds. Five rounds is too much, but I want maybe the second round, maybe the third. I'm beating him like a knockdown or a submission. I have a good strategy. Yeah, have he gave me the moment. And for sure, I knocked down him. And for sure, I submit the hands.
Use submissions or with the ground game. But when as far as
I
want
the big show, I don't want the like a decision. Yes. I don't like just a giant so fight. No, I can maybe win the best fight in the night. I want that like a good fight. For the impression, the Dana White, the guys give me after then the guys say, "Hey, Verdum, you good? You wait for the title shot." Yeah, I want this one, not like a normal fight, like a special fight.
And with JDS not facing Cain Velasquez, who do you think will win that fight?
Man, it's so difficult. Good game. He have like a wrestling game. He have a good step too. But I think it's Velasquez win again because I want the fight versus Velasquez. Velasquez, for my game, is very good. My game, he maybe take down me. I'm just submit to him because he like the guys. He take down the guys. The guys don't have a good guard. The guys stand up fast. The guys give the back. But I'm just I have a good guard. In the ground, I'm confident in the ground. When he take down me, I'm just trying to submit to him.
And that's if you're doing going and fighting in front of your native country with the rest of the folks.
But forces is
fighting
Saturday after then.
Verdum, fighting in Brazil, do you feel a little bit more pressured compared to fighting anywhere else because you have more family and friends that go out to see you in your native country?
No, I don't have pressure in my mind. I'm just confident because I'm training a lot. When I have pressure in my mind, when I know I'm not training, I have injuries, I'm not confident. I have a lot of pressure. But when I'm waiting, when my mind, my body, 100%, I'm confident, I'm not having zero pressure. Just because I want the fight in Brazil, I like because it's different. The fans are like the guys are like when the guys watch the football play, it's like the same thing. The guys say, I know Nogueira have a lot of fans in Brazil. He's very famous, but I have my like a five guys say my name there.
Hey, Verdum, last week, gotta ask you the two competitors that are fighting in the tournament finals. What can you tell us about them? For those folks here in the state to kind of know a little bit about them, and we're talking about Macaro and Santos.
Say again, sorry.
What can you tell us about the two contestants who are fighting in the tournament final, Macaro and Santos? What are your opinions on them?
Maybe Santos winning for sure. The football play, flow.
What's that, sorry?
I say again, I don't understand your question.
So, what is your opinion on the fighters, William Macario and Leo Santos, who are fighting in the tournament final.
Leo Santos. I think it's a good fight, too, because the nickname is Patolino. Yes, the nickname, Patolino. Patolino is a dangerous guy, have good boxing. He don't have a lot of good ground, but he have good defense for the ground. He have good wrestling. The other side is Leo Santos. Leo Santos is amazing in jiu-jitsu. He don't have a lot of good stand-up, too, but I think Leo Santos go in the ground, he win. The fight go like in stand up, Patolino win. But I think Leo Santos win this fight, like a decision maybe.
Wonderful. Well, we're doing. We want to wish you good luck against Nogueira this Saturday, June 8th on Fuel TV, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Really appreciate it. Anything else you'd like to add or do?
No, I just say thank you for you guys. Just thank you for the fans. I'm waiting for the fight. I just show Saturday night.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
This is your boy Sugar Rashad Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
And indeed, you are The Roman Show, Guillermo. There you have it. For Beach of Reduce, getting ready for a fight this Saturday.
Yep.
And
oh, you're really cutting out a lot. I can't even hear you, man.
Oh, that you guys heard there the interview with Verdum, and you and I have a conversation for taking a title shot, perhaps winning this fight against Tony Nogueira.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Verdum, I mean, honestly, like, If it wasn't for the fact that he was already scheduled to fight Nogueira, if he had just been available without a fight, I would have preferred to see Verdum fight Kane instead of Bigfoot. But unfortunately, the timing didn't work out. He was already doing the reality show, and he already had the fight against Nogueira scheduled. But I would have much preferred to have seen him fight Kane instead of Bigfoot, because we knew what was going to happen when Bigfoot fought Kane again. But yeah, I mean, Verdum, as long as he gets a win here, he should be the next in line to fight the winner of Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez.
Guys, enjoy yourselves this weekend. We have some MMA on Saturday, and then the following we got on Friday, and then followed by Saturday. Pretty much stacked lineup of MMA fighters for the next 2 weeks. Guillermo, your final thoughts?
No, man. Like, just looking forward to the UFC fights this weekend. You know, get to know a lot of, like, these Brazilian up-and-come. That's where you get a lot of these young Brazilian fighters you've never heard of in your life fighting on these Brazilian shows. But these guys, a lot of them turn out to be great fighters. So it's a kind of a view of what's going to happen here in the next 5 to 10 years. So keep an eye on it.
With that being said, again, remember to follow us at The Roman Show on Twitter and like our social media. Guys, thanks so very much for tuning in. Visit our website, RodolphoRoman.com. Just got a 50-day. And if you guys want the video of your business, simplyj.com. Buy it at Coco. Everyone else. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next week on The Roman Show. And go Heat!
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching Rodolfo Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Adolfo Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.